This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, thanks as always for your time.
Always a pleasure to be back with you, Greg.
A couple of major stories that the president is focusing on this week. First of all, his decision to reverse his endorsement of releasing those interrogation photos that were supposed to be released according to a court order. Now he's asking for the government to fight that order. Some say it's not the transparency that he promised. Others say this is good because it keeps our troops and intelligence personnel safer. Well, how do you read it?
It keeps troops and intelligence personnel safer, Greg, and it also lives up to what the president has said, albeit not directly, that there should not be retribution against officials in the previous administration who may have engaged in enhanced interrogation techniques. The official party line for what the press sometimes cavalierly calls torture. Overall, it backs up what Obama has said in every way except, as you put it, transparency. This is a president who is learning that while it's a good game to talk about transparency and revealing all to the public, there are things that government has to put under the category of top secret or at least secret. This is one of them. It makes perfect sense to me, yet it looks embarrassing for the president. Robert Gibbs, the president's spokesman, said last week that this is a case of whether you want a picture of the crime or want the crime solved in the end. That was kind of a weak explanation for what is very obvious. Some things have to stay in-house.
John, the other big issue for the president this week, health care reform. In fact, just yesterday on Wednesday, he said he wanted a bill on his desk by the end of July, basically before Congress goes on its summer recess. He seems like he's got the votes on Capitol Hill. Do you think he'll get that as soon as he wants it?
I have a funny feeling that when he talks about health care, you have noticed that he has held back on the term universal health care and applying it across the board and having greater public involvement in it. Stan Greenberg, the Democratic pollster, now said that the controversies that brought down the Clinton health care plan in 1993 are not there and people want health care now. I have a feeling, though, that when details are brought out, as they were in the case of the Clinton plan 16 years ago, that a lot of people in both parties are going to balk. No, I don't believe he has the votes, and I don't think that senators and House members will take too kindly to anyone, even a president, saying, get this done by July.
John, we're already looking forward to 2010. That kind of got kicked off when Arlen Specter a couple weeks ago said he was switching parties so he could win a primary and hopefully, in his mind, win a sixth term in the U.S. Senate. We're also seeing, in terms of the open seat down in Florida, that the governor, the still popular governor down there, Charlie Crist, after just a couple years on the job there, says he wants the vacated Senate seat or soon-to-be-vacated Senate seat of Republican Mel Martinez. Some say we could see a pretty big GOP fight because Crist is more moderate. His likely opponent is more conservative. Others say it's time for the party to coalesce around Crist because he's got the better chance of winning the seat. What do you expect there?
Most of my friends in Florida tell me that Charlie Crist is a popular governor. Indeed, polls show him with 71% approval rating, and he has lowered taxes in the state. In addition, his personality, his commitment to the environment and like-minded issues makes him popular with people in all parties. However, not people in all parties are going to be voting for a Senate nominee. Registered Republicans are, and many see him as a poster child for the Obama multi-billion-dollar stimulus package, as well as someone who goes a little bit on the extreme side on the environmental issues. Former State House Speaker Marco Rubio, a strong conservative, is going to hit hard on these issues in a primary. If I had to bet today, I'd say Crist wins. He wins easily in November and will be on the cover of Time magazine in a short time as a poster child for moderate Republicanism.
John, real quickly, do you see one side or the other winning this debate for the soul of the GOP right now? It seems to be getting a lot of attention.
Well, as James Baker, the former Secretary of State, said, overnight is an eternity in politics. Any party that is out of office goes through periods of soul-searching, sometimes argument, but as they get closer to the balloting in an election year, they come together. Remember, some of us are old enough to know that in 1989, the Democrats were wondering what their status would be as a party, whether they would continue to nominate candidates outside the mainstream and lose to Republicans such as Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush. Well, a funny thing happened to the Democratic Party on its way to demise. They came back with a fellow named Bill Clinton, and he won re-election.
John, just a couple minutes left here, and I would be remiss if not getting your first-hand account, your first-hand thoughts on what a lot of folks probably saw on the cable news channels yesterday. Your cell phone going off in the briefing room and the press secretary demanding your phone. Take us inside that whole scenario.
Why does it not surprise me that you brought this up, Greg? yes, my cell phone did go off twice, as it did on another occasion, and Robert Gibbs finally said, all right, give me the phone. He was playing his own version, quite well, I might add, of the two-fisted schoolteacher Glenn Ford played in Blackboard Jungle. As someone who considers himself a gentleman and someone honored and privileged to be a White House correspondent, I acquiesced to the man behind the podium, and he appeared to be tossing it to an aide. He actually handed it to it and gave me back the phone after the briefing was done. It was what Andy Warhol called 15 minutes of fame, and I must say that the lining on the cake was the good wishes from everyone, including my colleagues, the offers of spare cell phones, and the question from my colleague from GG Press of Japan. Does this happen often in the American press room?
Well, John, enjoy that 15 minutes of fame, and we'll talk to you next week.
With my cell phone back, but not yet doing commercials for Verizon, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.